Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog and I. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
This episode is entitled, Two Sides to a Breakup. First, we're going to examine what it means to be in a relationship where someone is cheating. And then we're going to talk about whether or not you have been dumped or whether or not you are going to do the dumping when it comes to a relationship. Let's see what happens when we're at the tail end of a relationship. Let's talk about cheating in relationships. Have you ever cheated on your partner or spouse? Are you cheating now? Do you think that your partner is cheating on you? What should you do if you suspect your partner is cheating on you? Do you believe that once a cheater, always a cheater? Are you leading a double life? What's the one big reason people cheat? We're going to talk about all of these topics today and see what it's like to go into the world of cheating. In working with my clients over the past 14 years, I'd say a good 75 to 80% of them have been personally affected by cheating. Either they have cheated on their loved one or spouse or partner, or someone has cheated on them, or someone in their family has cheated and they have learned about it. Let's go into the definition of cheating according to Urban Dictionary. Cheating is someone who is in a committed relationship and breaks the trust of his or her partner by getting physically or emotionally involved with another person. Common forms of cheating include kissing, sex, or any other contact that involves a physical connection. Emotional cheating involves forming a close bond with someone of your preferred gender and basically forming a second relationship. This may or may not include physical cheating. According to Webster's Dictionary, let's look at the word infidelity. Infidelity, according to Webster's, is an unfaithfulness to a moral obligation. Disloyalty, the act or fact of having a romantic or sexual relationship with someone other than one's husband, wife, or partner. The first known use of the word infidelity was in the 15th century. The first word used to define cheating from a physical perspective is the word adultery. The dictionary definition of adultery is the voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. The word adultery comes from the Ten Commandments, the seventh one being, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." So we have lived with those words for a very long time, from an emotional, physical,
and spiritual point of view. We all look at cheating in a very different way. And in today's digital age, there are more ways to cheat than ever before, and more definitions of cheating. Let's listen to the emails from some of my listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I've been with my partner for 5 years. Several months ago, I had suspicions that he was cheating on me with another woman. I turned out to be right. I was shocked, hurt, angry, and humiliated for being so deceived. How could he do this to me? I confronted him and he admitted the affair. I kicked him out of our home. It's been 2 weeks and I am devastatingly sad. I miss him. I'm just so let down. I'm glad I confronted him about it, but now I feel like his cheating was all my fault and I want to work this through with him. How can I get him back? Laura, Long Island, New York.
Thanks, Laura, for your email. There's so much to say on this topic that I'm going to try to start from the beginning. I'm very sorry that you and your partner are no longer together. I can tell you that this is a typical reaction when we find that our partner is cheating on us. We are outraged. We are angry. We are completely shocked because many times it's taken us by surprise. Even though we actually think we have hints of it and maybe we suspect that this is happening, when we actually see it up close and personal because he has admitted it or we have concrete evidence of it, we still go into shock. We are hurt, we are angry and humiliated for being so deceived, just as you've said in your email. And then we think, how could he do this to me? Meaning, I am supposed to be the love of his or her life. How could they possibly want to cheat on me? So understand that our own egos find this difficult to accept because we think that we are that person's soulmate and they couldn't possibly want to cheat on us. That's part of it. We also think, how could they want to hurt me so badly? What have I done to ensue such hurt? When you confronted him and he admitted it, you immediately kicked him out of the house. Again, that is our normal reaction to what happens when we are hurt and deceived. We fight back. We say no more. And that's what you did by letting him go. And now that you've taken some distance, you begin to see that maybe cheating is not always so black and white. Maybe there are reasons for his infidelity that you want to talk about. And this is what the Pushy Broad believes. I don't believe necessarily that cheating is black and white, although our society tells us that it is. However, statistically, more than 50% of marriages stay together after an affair, maybe close to 75%. So evidently, cheating is something that we need to look at in a different way. I'm sure that most of your friends and family are telling you to walk and to make sure that you don't bring him back. But if you are feeling so devastated and so let down, and he's willing to come back to the table and talk about it, then I think that's what you should do. No one needs to be blamed for cheating. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx believe it does take two people to make a relationship work, which means that you have to see if you both played a part in the breakdown of this relationship. Most of the clients that I talk to tell me that cheating just doesn't happen all by itself. There is some kind of breakdown in the relationship or in the marriage that causes this situation. At least that happens most of the time. It can be that your sex life has waned. It could be that there's more stress on the relationship than usual. It could be that there is a financial crisis or an emotional crisis going on in the family, a grief, a loss. It could be that you're traveling a lot and don't spend as much time together. There are many reasons why there is a breakdown in the relationship. Go back and give it another try. It doesn't mean that you're going to stay with him, but it does mean that you may need to talk about it with a coach, with a therapist, or just the two of you sitting down to have an open, honest, non-judgmental conversation as to what has transpired prior to the cheating, during the cheating, and what you would like to see going forward. It still means that you have a lot of work to do. It takes two to make or break a relationship. If you feel you want to work this through, then give him a call, and start talking. Many couples who do reconcile after a cheating event find that their relationships are stronger and more honest. Here's another email from one of my listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I'm 45 years old and I've been happily married to my wife for 15 years. Our sex life is fairly frequent and still satisfying, as I'm still very much attracted to her. While traveling for business, I was introduced to someone that I was immediately physically drawn to. We spent one intimate night together, which was wild and exciting. I then returned home to my wife, and I've been wondering whether or not to tell her. Part of me feels guilty, and the other part of me feels exhilarated. What do I do? Gavin from Lexington, Kentucky.
Thank you, Gavin, for your email. When couples are married for a long time, even if their sex is good and frequent, as it says in your letter, all of a sudden you're out on your own, you're far from home, and then it happens. An instant attraction. You want to feel alive again. You want to feel excited. Here is what I call attraction to the forbidden fruit. We see something. We want to act on it right away. We know we're not supposed to have it, but it's exciting. It's very enticing, certainly somewhat dangerous, and something outside of the box, something we never thought of before. But here it is. Should we go on this adventure? Should we jump in, throw caution to the wind, and decide to do something that we never thought we would do? And maybe we're thinking, no one will ever know. I can do this in secret. Well, guess what? Someone will know. You will know. And you have to come home and live with it. So, Gavin, can you live with it? You say in your letter that part of you feels guilty and the other part of you feels exhilarated. That exhilaration can come from acting on the forbidden fruit, and it can also come by feeling that you are desired by another woman after all this time of being in a monogamous relationship for 15 years. Someone else is actually attracted to you. The desire they feel for you is very exhilarating. Let's go a little further. There is a school of thought that says men and women tend to think and feel differently about sex and cheating. Men are generally more likely than women to be able to compartmentalize sex and intimate connections. For many men, sex is just sex. It's not an intimate relationship. But women seem to view it differently. For women, sex becomes an intimate relationship. Most women cheat for emotional reasons and not just sexual ones. And when they do cheat, they tend to be more involved with their partners. They also tend to have more to lose, which is why women take having sex outside of their relationship very seriously. Women obviously are procreators, and therefore they have to worry about what will sex mean to them going forward. They cannot run the risk of getting pregnant. In other words, men typically do not need to be in love to enjoy sex. In fact, they don't even have to be in like. They just need to be turned on. Generally, it's more difficult to get a woman interested in sex because they want everything. They want to be turned on. They want to have an intimate relationship. They want to have a guy who listens, has a good sense of humor, and has an idea of living happily ever after together. This same school of thought tells us that men are less likely to leave a long-term relationship just to have sex with another woman, whereas women are more likely to leave their relationship once they have begun an extramarital affair. If we go by this school of thought in answering your letter, and you tell me at the end that part of you feels guilty and the other part of you feels exhilarated, and if men can compartmentalize sex and relationships, does that mean that you're more likely to repeat this again the next time you travel? Will it be easier for you a second time? Ask yourself this question. How would you feel if she did this to you? The Pushy Broad from the Bronx believes that maybe men do have a different outlook on extramarital affairs than women do. But I can tell you that men have the same outlook on extramarital affairs as women do, if it is done to them. So, think about it for a moment. If your wife went on a trip and came back and told you that she had a one-night stand with someone that she found enticing and exhilarating and was very attracted to, would you be okay with it? Even if she told you that it was just about sex and it didn't mean anything, would you be okay with it? Would you want to know? This is what you have to decide. No matter what you do decide, the one question you have to always ask yourself is, would I want my partner to cheat on me?
We'll be right back.
We've all had a push moment, and the Pushy Broad from the Bronx wants to hear some of yours. If you'd like to share your most defining moments for her Everybody Needs a Little Push segment, or want to ask a question for her No or Yes segment, or maybe you want to share your 10 minutes of tears moment, you can email her at ellen@pushybroadfromthebronx.com. We love reading all of your comments, questions, and push moments. You can be a part of an amazing group of people and get more access to the Pushy Broad from the Bronx by becoming a part of her email list. If we air your question or comment on the Pushy Broad from the Bronx podcast, for privacy purposes, we will change your name to protect the innocent. Or the guilty. We don't know. We're not judging. If you aren't ready to share with her just yet, or if you want more Pushy Broad from the Bronx goodness, join her Facebook group. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out her website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com.
If you want quick answers to things with no BS, here's my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS, ask the Pushy Broad and she'll say no or yes.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I suspect that my partner is cheating on me. Do I confront him?
Yes, yes, yes. And if you didn't hear it the first three times, hell yes. Let me tell you why. When we have an inkling or a hint that our partner is cheating on us, we all of a sudden become the greatest detectives in the world. We start going through their phone, we start going through their wallet, we start going through their personal contacts, we start talking with our girlfriends or our boyfriends or our families. And basically, we drive ourselves pretty crazy. Why do that to yourself? The person that you really want to talk to is your partner. So sit down calmly with your partner, and rather than putting them on the defensive, which will immediately elicit a response that you will not be happy with, sit down and apprise them of your suspicions. Let them know that this has been bothering you for a while, but you'd like to talk about something that you believe is pretty hurtful to the relationship. So the answer to, I suspect that my partner is cheating on me, do I confront them? Yes, both for your partner's sake and for yours. I can also tell you that many of my clients who were actually cheating on their partners were very relieved when they were confronted because they didn't know how to tell their partner on their own. Take the plunge, sit down, and try very hard to have a calm conversation. And that not only means not screaming or yelling or saying, how could you do this to me? But in this conversation, you have to do more listening than talking. You want to hear why. Because those explanations will be the key to dictating what you both do next. Here is another no or yes question from one of my listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, is it wrong to lie about an affair?
Again, the answer is yes. If you are cheating on someone and you are confronted, if you lie about the affair, then you have no chance of saving this relationship. If you don't want to save the relationship, break up with the person that you have been involved with. Go on and go to the affair. I know it seems like a funny kind of question because everybody will say, yes, it's wrong to lie about an affair. But lots of people who cheat think that if they tell their partner, they will only hurt them. And because they still love them and want to stay with them, they don't want to cause them further pain. Well, let me tell you that the pain you are causing is not only lying to your partner, but you are also causing yourself pain. Most of you out there who cheat lead double lives. From the moment you decide to split your time, energy, emotional, and/or physical life with someone other than your partner, you have now crossed over into the world of secrecy and concealment. In other words, you have stepped through the clandestine looking glass. Believe me, I know. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is no stranger to cheating. It's happened to me on both sides. I've done the cheating, and I've been cheated on. From the cheating standpoint, I can tell you that leading a double life is completely exhausting. You always have to keep track of what you have said, where you have been, and you always need a cover story to cover your tracks. And most of the time, when that happens, you take your friends down with you. Each one of them has to choose, because probably one or more of them knows both of you, you and your partner. And now you've asked them to keep your secrets as well. If you are confronted and you lie, that is wrong. So if your partner is confronting you about the affair, you must tell them the truth. No matter what happens afterwards, you both have to face the consequences of your actions. Let's move on to our next segment, 10 Minutes of Tears.
When you're feeling sad and kind of blue, rather lost and not really in it, don't stay angry, lost, or confused. 10 Minutes of Tears is certainly for you. Please cry, but only for 10 minutes.
Cheating is one of the major ways people use to break up their relationship. They start by being unhappy in their present partnership, and then begin what people think is a harmless emotional conversation with a third party to discuss the unhappiness when they should be talking about that unhappiness with their current partner. As time progresses, we see this third party as compassionate and understanding and truly appreciative of what we are going through. Sometimes that other person is also going through similar problems, which makes the emotional bond and commiseration even stronger. As time goes on, this emotional bond has a strong likelihood of being sexual. This affair becomes our catalyst for change. My clients have told me that the affair has given them the strength they need to move out of their current situation. Some people find that it's easier to break off your relationship with your current partner if you have the assurance that there's someone waiting in the wings. You may find it interesting to know that the vast majority of couples stay married or stay together in the wake of an affair. There are statistics that suggest that as many as 75% of couples survive. Understand that there is a great difference between surviving and thriving. You both have lots of work to do. You cannot be content with forgiving and forgetting and not dealing with the current problems that maybe drove one or the other of you to cheat. So if you want this marriage to be better, because every affair redefines the relationship, you both have a new chance to decide how your relationship will be going forward. So work on it together so that happiness will be a reality. Cheating hurts. Cheating is painful. Cheating makes us cry. If we've been cheated on, we cry. If we have been found out, or we are telling our partner that we have cheated and it signals the end of a relationship, it's also time for tears. Cheating never constitutes happiness, no matter which way it's going. So this is where we take 10 minutes of tears. Realize that this is a sad situation and a painful one, and then decide what we're going to do going forward. So don't shove anything under the rug and make it okay, when really, at this moment, it's not okay. It is hurtful, and it does make us want to cry. But we're human, and we can move forward. So take your 10 minutes of tears, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start working at it again.
Here's my next segment I'm talking here.
I'm talking here.
I'm talking here. Listen. Learn. Pay attention. I'm talking here. The definition of monogamy is the practice or state of being married to one person at a time, or the practice or state of having a sexual relationship with only one partner. If you have chosen to be monogamous, then you have made a conscious choice to do just that. If you have chosen to be married, then you have taken vows to that effect, to forsaking all others, to pledging fidelity to just one person. Whether you are in a committed relationship or a marriage, those are the words that you have spoken. And if you have chosen that path, then cheating is not something that you would consider doing. But once cheating becomes your reality, then you have to face the consequences of those actions. More often than not, we are extremely hypocritical in our thinking when it comes to cheating. Sometimes men and women do view their initial reasons for cheating differently, but only when they are the cheaters. When they are the victims and their partners are cheating on them, both sexes feel that cheating is tantamount to the dissolution of their relationship. In other words, I will not tolerate your cheating on me, but I ask you to understand and forgive me for cheating on you. Whether or not you decide to forgive your partner and work on your relationship, the trust you had for them has gone right out the window. It takes time to restore trust. So unless you are willing to be open to trusting again, and unless your partner is willing to put in the work to earn that trust, then chances are you are headed in separate directions. If as far back as the Ten Commandments, cheating is looked upon as a sin, then it's going to take us a very long time still to understand that cheating does not mean that there is one bad person here and one good person. We still view cheating from a victim and a perpetrator point of view. But cheating doesn't mean there's one bad person and one good person. There is more to cheating than being a victim or a perpetrator. If we can look upon cheating as a way to define what's really going on with us inside ourselves, we will get a clearer understanding as to why we are doing this. Although there can be a debate about whether cheating is about an unhappy marriage or unhealthy people, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx believes that happy people don't cheat. If you're going to cheat, I do believe that there is some unhappiness within you. Even if you find that you have a wonderful relationship, you are still longing for something else outside of that relationship. You may be longing to feel more excited, to feel more alive. You may be longing to be desired. You may be longing for sex with someone else other than your partner. You may be longing to feel special. You may be longing to feel understood. You may be longing for an emotional connection that you can't seem to find with the one person that you've pledged your monogamy. Whatever the reason, it is because you are looking for something else that you feel you can't find in your current situation. But most of the time that longing comes from within, so that no matter who comes along, those feelings may still not be satisfied with another relationship. So by examining exactly what's driving you in another direction, you will have a clearer understanding as to whether or not the trip is worth it.
We'll be right back.
Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
My co-producer Richard Torres and I started to talk about the ways in which a relationship can end. And we mentioned before that cheating is one of those ways. Let's talk about dumper and dumpee.
Have you ever been dumped? And who has dumped you, right? If you're the dumper, then you're the one who is doing the dumping in terms of a relationship. And if you're the dumpee, then you're the one that's feeling the brunt of someone telling you that they don't want to be with you anymore.
That it's over.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's done. And we were talking about different ways that we've heard of people either getting dumped or being dumped.
Right.
And you were telling me that you got dumped one time on the quintessential Valentine's Day.
I got dumped on Valentine's Day once. Yeah.
So how long ago was that?
Oh, that was years ago. I was a teenager, so it was some time ago. Yeah, it stemmed from we got into some kind of argument the day before. I don't remember what about. So I thought I'd make it up. It's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Let me get her favorite candy. I wrote her a handwritten sentiment, which I think nobody does anymore. I wrote her a handwritten card and, saying I'm sorry, how I like you so much. And it still got dumped. She was
so what,
like,
did she hand you the card back? Did she say, you know,
I
I'm
gave
sorry?
It to her and she was like, why do you do this to me? And I'm like, well, I don't know, why not? And then she just, we didn't talk for the rest of the day. And then she unceremoniously dumped me via text message later that day, just saying like,
sorry, it's over.
Pretty much. I like you, but yada, yada, yada. Whatever excuse. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Right. I like you. It's not you. It's me.
And I just thought it was so funny. Like, who does handwritten cards anymore? And on Valentine's Day, you can spare me another day? Or, I don't know.
There's so much hype around Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
I mean, my God, it's, this big thing on Valentine's Day. You know, I don't
big
care
deal.
When it is. If you're not happy with somebody, you should be dumping them. I have a little bit more pushy and story about being the dumper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was married in my 20s, and
wow.
I was married for about 11 years, and I didn't know how to dump him, so one day he went off for work, and when he came home, I had packed up all my stuff and left.
Wow.
And that's a royal dumping. Can you imagine? He comes home, and I'm gone.
His wife is gone. Like, whoa.
Yes, gone.
Did you tell him? Did you write him a note?
I left him a tape. Actually,
a tape. That's
I
awesome.
Left him a tape. It's just
that's
a
cool.
horrible thing. I left him a tape letting him know that our time was done.
Wow. Well,
at least I left him something, right?
Yeah. Well, you were honest.
I left him the apartment. I left him the furniture.
And you left him a tape.
And I left him a tape. Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. That's a true story. And then we talked many weeks later. You know, we did talk. I mean, because we had to go through divorce proceedings. So
right.
we did have something to say to each other. But that's how I dumped someone. And that was way before texting and way before, all those other kind of things.
I could appreciate almost a tape, because at least it's some kind of video or something. But
well, this was a tape someone can listen to.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like breaking up with someone on a podcast.
Right.
Was it a cassette tape?
You put it in a Walkman. I know what it is.
How would you know what a Walkman was?
Of course I do. I was expecting a VHS tape.
No. It was way before VHS.
Okay.
Way before VHS.
Well, that's almost romantic in a weird way.
You think so?
Sort of. Well, not really, because he's being dumped, right?
Yeah.
No. But I mean, these days, I do have a story about that. It was sort of like, I did initiate the dumping, it was a few years back, and I was seeing this girl for a while. It just wasn't working out. I need to get into details, but so I was trying to tell her, maybe we shouldn't go forward with this, and to which she agreed. She said, it's this and that. Days following after is what really got a little funny and crazy. I mean, I would get these long, long text messages, these diatribes of, just a lot of FUs, a lot of, you're this
because
or that.
You already broke off with her, and then she came back and she wanted to have her own set of her own closure.
I guess so, but it kept up for a while. Now that I remember, it was like I mean, that was probably, I'll say it was like May, it was like springtime. I was still getting like these long texts up to like July. Like randomly.
And there was 2 months, you know. But when you break up with somebody,
I had blocked phone numbers though. That's what made it even crazier. It was just like,
yeah, but sometimes when you are the dumper, the person that you're dumping, the dumpee, doesn't want to let you go.
No.
They want to hold on.
Right. But it wasn't even like it was like a, hey, I think I should work it out. It was like, you know, it was just like a, like I said, it was a lot of FUs and a lot of under the influence calls. Things like that. It was crazy.
Saying I want you back and stuff like that. Yeah, well, I mean, that person as the dumpee still wants to hold on. And that's, you know, that's a tough situation.
Yeah.
You know, getting dumped by text, I think, is the lowest of the low.
Yeah. And I really do.
I think you're scum if you're breaking off with someone by text. You know, I kind of think you're scum if you're breaking off with someone by telephone. But I know people have a lot of trouble confronting. But right. To just break off with somebody by text, I mean, how dare you do that?
Super, just, it doesn't show it's a lot of just, concern at
no,
all.
No, it shows immaturity and a lack of concern. And I'll tell you, all of those
you
who are dumping people by text, I hope you get dumped by text. I hope, if you're the dumper, I hope you become the dumpee and somebody does it to you by text.
Then you'll know how it is.
That's right. You'll know how it is.
You know, it's like I spoke over you. I'm sorry, but it's like you really don't have the guts to tell me in person. I mean, I could agree with you, like you say. People have confrontation issues. They'll talk on the phone. At least on the phone, it's a live interaction. You know what I mean? It's not just you could have sent that text like at any time, any day. Like, you know, this I could be at work. I could dump someone when they're at work and then they get a text message. Like, how messed up is that, you know?
Yeah, it's really messed up, no question. There are many different ways to dump people. You know, there are many different ways to say things. You know, it's not you, it's me, all of those things.
Yeah, the cliches.
All of that stuff. But the biggest thing here is that if you should know that if you need to dump someone, that you shouldn't be holding on to them
right.
just because you're afraid to dump them.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to be the dumper, then be the dumper.
Right.
Save yourself, for God's sakes. Don't stay in something if you need to turn around and say, oh, look, this is done.
Right.
I'm finished.
This reminds me of something a comedian said. It's Dane Cook. He had to stand up. He's like, I don't know why people fight for relationships longer than they have to. Why can't anyone just say, like, this is effing over?
Right. This
cool.
is over. Yeah,
good,
cool.
Nice.
Bye.
You.
See ya.
Goodbye. Where he made the joke, he said, no, everybody's like, you know what? I hate you, but let's fight for the next 5 years about it, and then let's break up.
That's exactly like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. This is hilarious.
Chances are, if you want to do the dumping, the person, the dumpy, probably kind of knows it.
Yeah.
If that dumpy is so in the dark, then what kind of a relationship did you have to begin with?
You usually feel it coming in the air anyway. Like, I've been dumped before. I've been dumped via text several times. I think it's just an age thing, unfortunately. But you could feel it in the air. They're acting weird, you know? They're not as, I mean, affectionate is one thing, but they're not even just as responsive, not even conversational, just weird, you know?
There's an immediate distance that happens. You could see that there's
precisely.
No more electrical connection. You know, it's almost like
right.
a circuit disconnect.
Yeah.
It's a really strange feeling. Yeah. And when one does that, I mean, one goes through an emotional change. And what people don't understand is whether you're the dumper or the dumpee, most of the time you're feeling like crap around it.
Yeah. Oh, man. And you know what? And it could lead to a lot of heavy stuff, too. You know, just a lot of sadness, a lot of being, I mean, just stuck at home all day and thinking about it. I know.
How am I going to do it? When am I going to do it? What am I going to say?
Yes.
Right? As the dumper, right?
As the dumper.
What's the best time? You know.
And as the dumpy, it's almost the same thing. You know, it's like thinking about it. Oh, my God. Now I'm dumped. How can I, you know, what did they mean when they said this? I thought I was this and that to them. And it's just like this constant cycle of thinking, and it just drives
right.
you
right. Rehashing the conversations
awful.
Over and over again. And the thinking,
where did it
I
go
mean,
wrong?
Right. And the expressions, I said this, he said that. What does it mean? Like,
sucks.
Like, you know, you're reading the Dead Sea Scrolls, like there's some magical mystery meaning to all of this stuff, which,
right.
you know, you could just go on and on and on about that doesn't really matter.
Right.
Two people are no longer together. And no matter what, You know, people say to me, well, if you're the dumpy, it's always more difficult because you're the one being dumped. And, and especially if you're dumped because, you know, you discovered that someone was cheating on you. And that's a very popular thing. You know, we talked about that many times.
Right.
Somebody's cheating on you and now you feel ashamed and you feel embarrassed and you feel humiliated and all of those things.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a stigma to that. It feels like when you get dumped, it's like you're the loser. You know
right.
what I mean?
When
like
you get dumped, you're the,
is like
exactly.
the winner.
Exactly.
It's, I don't know.
Exactly. And that's so much bullshit because I was on both sides. Okay.
Right.
I left two husbands in two divorces. I'm the one that walked out. And don't for a minute think that it wasn't painful. And don't for a minute think that it was a last minute decision. Every single dumper out there has not all of a sudden woken up that morning and said, oh, I'm going to just dump my boyfriend or girlfriend today.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it's not a movie. Everyone thinks it's like that, where you get this like bolt of lightning, like I've had enough. I mean, in some cases it is that way, but I think what you mean it's just like it brews and it comes. It
exactly.
comes
exactly. It brews and sometimes brews for years. People right. in bad marriages, people in bad relationships, people that are living together, people that are married, people that have raised children together. When you're unhappy, unhappiness brews. You're exactly right. And that takes a while. So that person who's the dumper has been living in emotional pain for quite some time.
Right.
So maybe the dumpy doesn't have wind of it, and maybe it is a shock to them in some ways.
Right.
But I think in some instances, I'd rather have it that emotional shock right away as a dumpy than to stew as a dumper in emotional turmoil for what could be years.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah. You know, you're questioning why you fell in love, why you were with this person, you know, should you leave, should you not leave, are you the bad guy, are they the bad guy, and you know, I mean, we mentioned earlier, there is a lot of emotional distress once you're dumped, it's sitting in it, but I don't know, you know, there is a moving on period for everybody suffers, and I think that's what a lot of people don't really address or accept.
Yes, that everybody suffers, and it's very easy to put the blame on the dumper.
Right.
But as we both know, it takes two people to form a relationship, right. no matter what.
And it probably takes two to end one.
Exactly. And now we also have to look at the dumper maybe as somebody with a little more courage.
Perhaps, yeah. In a lot of those situations, yes. Because they're the one who said, you know what, this isn't right. You know what I mean? That's actually do something forward about this instead of let this linger another day like it has been. Like you said, it could be for years.
Right. So I kind of salute the dumpers. I really do. I mean, I know that I moved on for good reasons, and I think that the people that I dumped moved on for good reasons, and sometimes it takes a strong person like a pushy broad or a pushy bro to say, I'm done.
Right.
We're done, and go your merry way and go live happily ever after. And maybe I can't tell you, you know, right to your face, or I'm going to try to do that. Or maybe I need to find another person and cheat on you to make it easier for me. I think everybody that cheats, it's a catalyst for change. It's just the catalyst for change. It's the person that helps them ease them through the pain and give them the courage to make the change from their other relationship. Not that I condone cheating, but I understand it, I think, in many ways. And the person that has been dumped, I think they have to take a look at their lives and say, well, maybe this is the better road. And thank goodness I know now than continue to live in misery and continue to live with someone that's not happy.
Right. And, you know, I want to talk about the dumpy a little bit for a second, too. Sometimes people break up for valid reasons. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes the dumpy in those specific situations, you know, sometimes their partner is just giving up and their partner isn't fighting as much as, let's say, the dumpy has in a relationship. But you know what? If that happens and your partner walks out on you for a reason that you probably could have helped and they quit and they left you, is it really a loss? Now, of course, it hurts, but it's like, did you really want to be with that person who's going to just give up for the long run?
Yeah, that's also when your friends turn around and say to you, oh, God, you were better off without them.
Right, right.
Right? And isn't that the case, right? How many times have you been in a relationship? How many times when you get dumped, okay, and then all of a sudden
Oh, you were so much better.
Oh my God, you were so much better, and thank God. And I don't know how you could be with that person. Right. And we never liked him anyway.
And kudos to friends. We never liked her anyway. Right.
When I was like, where were they before?
Right.
Okay, where were your friends saying, oh, he was a shit. Why didn't you tell me?
Right.
I mean, that was really what happened with my second husband.
Oh, yeah.
I walked down the aisle, and then after we divorced, a lot of my friends turned around to me, and they didn't say he was a shit, but they turned around and say, we could never see you with him. Why did you marry him? And I was like, why didn't you say this to me before?
Right.
But friends chicken out, or they figure, you know, well, I'm going to mind our own business. We're not going to say anything, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, all of this stuff comes out of the woodwork afterwards.
Right. And kudos to friends being supportive and all that. But
well, they're always on your side, at least for the most part.
Yeah, right. But they do it in very convenient times. You know what I mean? They're only, like you just said, giving you that advice when, you know.
When it's over.
Right. You wish you had it earlier, but hey, what the heck, you know.
So, you know, we've discussed, you know, that it is just as difficult to be the dumper and the dumpy no matter what. Mm. Because you're still going through pain. I think the dumper is going through pain maybe a little bit more to lead them to that point before the relationship is over.
Right.
And the dumpy maybe goes through a little bit more pain afterwards. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And I'm lonely and there's nobody to love me. And how could this happen to me?
And that's hard. And that's true. But I think what people forget is, it's like the old cliche saying is that there is plenty of fish in the sea. And it is true, you know, that there's so many human beings out there that you can find the same kind of emotional bond with, the same interest and hobbies that you both. It's hard, you know, it's hard to invest yourself into someone and then for them to leave or to not be with you anymore. But, you know, you found that bond before, you could find it again.
But sometimes before that happens, especially if you're the dumpy and you have no one waiting in the wings, maybe if you're the dumper, you, like I said, it may be easier because you may have someone waiting in the wings. But before that, whether you're the dumper or the dumpy, you've gone through a major change in your life. Right. There are certain things in your life that constitute major change, and being in a relationship and then not being in a relationship is a major change, right? And because of that, it constitutes a loss. You're not there with that person anymore. It's a complete change, and you could be sad about it. And when you're sad about it, it actually mimics the five stages of grief and loss. Because even though that person has broken up with you, and even though as a dumpy you may want them to die, they're still alive, but you're still going through the same kind of stages of grief and loss as if you lost someone. You know, if they passed on. And, you know, and that may be in the beginning as a dumpy, you know, denial and isolation, you know, like, what are you talking about? And you can't really mean this. Or afterwards, how could he do this to me? And I, all I want to do is stay holed up in my house and watch TV all day. I don't want to talk to anybody, that kind of isolation feeling. And then you get the anger, how, you know, I mean, I can't stand them. And, you know, the anger around it, which is the second part of it. And then the bargaining. Well, maybe if I promise to be a better person, or we do more of the stuff that he wants to do or she wants to do, I can get him back. And maybe, you know, that bargaining situation. Oh God, that I hate that whole thing, because you're bargaining with everything. And then you go into that depression feeling. Oh my God, the world is over. I can't stand this. And then you move on, which is the acceptance portion. And it's amazing that these stages occur, and they may mix up a little bit in your thought process, but then, you know, you may go back and forth a couple of times, and one day you feel like you can accept it, and the next day you're back in anger or bargaining. Mm-hmm. But basically, you do go through the stages of grief and loss. And it's important to know that both of you go through those stages, not only the dumpy, but the dumper. Just because they said this is enough doesn't mean that they didn't care about you and love you up until that point.
Right.
And just because they're walking away doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt them as well.
Right.
And that's what the dumpy needs to understand.
I can attest to that too, you know, just from personal experience. You know, I've been in situations where I've had a relationship ended and I've had someone waiting in the wings, if you will. And yeah, I'm happily moving on and this and that, but it was still a lot of moments where, like, you feel bad, or you might even miss that person a little bit.
Why not? You know?
Right. It's hard. It's not easy. It's really emotionally distressing. it could be really, I think it's sabotaging too if you are moving on quickly, you know, and you do have someone waiting in the wings and you're trying to move on, but you can't because you have the past sabotaging it, and it's ruining you from paying attention to what's going on forward, moving forward.
Exactly. And as the dumper, if you're using another person to give you the strength to make the catalyst for change, then you are really not focusing on yourself and trying to work through what was wrong. And the only thing you can do as a dumper is to really learn from your experiences and make sure that the second time around these things don't happen.
Right.
But, you know, there aren't too many statistics as to how many people are in that, you know, that rebound relationship situation. That's what they call it. The rebound relationship that actually works and becomes long lasting. You know, I don't know how many rebound relationships are actually the ones that people stay with.
Who knows?
As opposed to being the interim relationship before the next one.
Right, right.
You know, usually what happens is two people are miserable and they start talking to each other and then they become intimate with each other. And then those two people break off with their respective relationships, because they've healed their pain together.
Right.
That's really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you how miserable I am, and we can talk about it together. We can both tell each other how miserable we are.
Yeah, who needs them? Let's.
Right. Let's, and then we'll, you know, find that we'll be attracted to each other. And
exactly.
There you go. That's very, very popular.
I was going to be a little more crude about it.
Well, it doesn't matter how old you are either. I mean, I don't care whether you're a teenager, a millennial, a young adult, an adult. There are so many people out there and so many clients that I see that are doing this in relationships.
Yeah.
Because lots of people.
Well, misery loves company.
Yes.
So, and then that's probably just the, that's enough to drive that kind of relationship as far as it will go anyway, you know? Because like you say, it doesn't necessarily last long. It's just like, well, I'm not miserable about it anymore. Yeah, me neither. See ya.
Right.
Kind of
right,
is that
right,
way.
Right,
it
right.
It really is.
So if you could think of one of the funniest ways that somebody could dump someone, really funny way, what do you think that would be?
I'd really have to think about that.
I just keep thinking that maybe you're on the beach during the summer and this airplane comes over and skywrites.
It's over.
Sorry, Tom. It's over. We're done.
You know what? I feel like there's definitely videos out there, like online, where like people have like a whole. I think this definitely was a video. There was like a whole band. Some guy brought like a whole band to like this restaurant or something to like dump his girlfriend, or whatever, like to say it's over, and then he celebrated out of the restaurant with his band, and it's just
ridiculous. That would like be that. Very cool. Or one of the, what do they call those mall things where everybody dances together? What do they call those?
Oh,
things?
Yeah, they're like it's like a flash mob, I think.
Yeah, flash mob. Get a flash mob to dump your partner because no matter what, that's gotta be hysterical. I would love to see. That done.
Or,
I mean, that would be cool.
I saw another one on TV where I think someone brought, I don't remember the show. It's one of these ridiculous reality TV shows, but I think he brought his wife, fiance. I think it was a fiance or girlfriend. He brought her to like this park and bought her this like beautiful ring and gave her to her. She was in shock and she loved it. And he's like, it's over. Like it was like a breakup ring.
Very cool. That's a really nice way to dump somebody.
I thought that was
here's a parting gift. You know, it's
yeah,
like,
it's like
a TV show.
This?
He is. And here's your parting gift. Johnny, what are we going to give them for a parting gift? You know,
here's
that
ring.
Kind of thing.
Goodbye.
Get that's hysterical.
Well, there's probably a lot of people who've done that. We don't know. You know what I mean?
Oh,
if they have
God.
Hey,
that's
disposable
so,
income. Why not?
That's so classy.
Yeah, it's really
hilarious. I really do think so. I think that, you know, the next person I date, if they're going to dump me, I think they should send me on a cruise.
Right.
Send me around the world. Give me a world cruise and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll be okay with that. Goodbye.
Yeah, right. That's
so
a nice parting gift.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic.
That'd be hilarious. Or, you know, what's, I don't know. See, most people, they wouldn't ever look at it lightly enough to want something
to appreciate
like that.
Or appreciate.
And it's like you said, you're like, I know. You made that comment. It's like, I know they're not dead, although you want them to be dead. It's like, no, they'd probably want you to send it like that. Like, you know, send me your heart in a box or something like that.
Right,
know.
Right,
that'd
right.
That'd make me happy. I don't know. That's it. Well, I get it, you know. Depression comes with a lot of anger, and that's really, you know, that's what we want to not focus on.
Well, you know, look, it's kind of funny. I mean, dumper, dumpy. I mean, in your lifetime, you can't sweat the small things. I mean, if you're not going to be with that person anymore, you're not dead. It's not the end of the world. There will be other people.
There you go.
Whether whether you're saying goodbye to that person or that person is saying goodbye to you. I do not believe that there's one soulmate for this person on the earth. I don't believe there's one soulmate for me. I believe that there are lots of kindred spirits out there. There are many soulmates.
I agree with that. Right?
There will be others. Right. If you want love in your life and you want a relationship in your life and you're open to that, then the universe will provide it for you.
Right. Because you're attracting that energy to you.
Exactly.
And that's, think about how you felt and what you wanted when you started your last relationship. You know what I mean? I wanted this, and I want this kind of relationship. And obviously, it was enough for you to start it and have it and to be happy in it. You know, where it fell off the rails is so many other factors to that. But there was a reason behind it. There was a reason why you fell in love with someone in the first place.
And hold on to that.
And there'll be a reason why you fall in love with someone again.
Exactly.
And that just might be, as the cliche goes, the one. Who knows?
Exactly. It doesn't matter. And you're right. And don't get hung up on the whys, even though it's important to have closure. And it's important to sit down and say, okay, what went wrong here?
Right.
The biggest way that you can achieve closure is to keep your emotions out of it.
Right. Which,
and to talk of it, you know, talk about it like the end of an emotional business contract in a way. What went wrong? What was the breakdown of this relationship? Only so that she can learn for the next relationship.
Right.
And so that you really know what the other person is thinking, and it's important to know.
Right.
Sometimes, though, you won't know. And you can't get hung up on the knowing, because it really doesn't matter. What matters is, how are you coming out of it?
Right.
Are you more of a whole person? Are you more in touch with how you are feeling and what you want to do the next time, and how you want to approach things differently in your communication? That's what this is all about. It doesn't matter whether you're the dumper or the dumpy, and maybe in your lifetime you'll be both. What matters is how you come out of it and how strong that you are. So like you said, so maybe the next time will be another soulmate.
Hopefully. And if it's not, move on, do it
then
again.
Yeah, then you're going to do it all over again, which is
fine. And you get
fine.
To learn, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so don't sweat the dumper dumpy. Maybe, you know, do it in an innovative way that's not going to hurt somebody, but maybe letting them down as easy as possible.
Right. Life's already too hard as it is.
Yeah.
Let's make the difficult not as difficult.
You're right. Okay, well, anybody that's dating me next, if you're going to dump me, diamonds work.
Diamonds and
diamonds
a cruise.
Diamonds work and a cruise.
Yeah.
Diamonds and a cruise.
Perfect.
Okay. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from